Well, we're going to be in Luke chapter 1 here again, and you know, we were on our way to church this morning, and let me know, has this ever happened to you? You're on your way somewhere, and the car breaks down. We were about 5 minutes away from our home, and the car started giving us some fits, and we were not, like, we were on time, which is rare for us, for our family. This is kind of a neat phenomenon. I was excited about, but nope, we're going to have to turn around and had to send a text message, running a little late. And I mean, we didn't do too bad this morning, I think, but yeah, we had to go home, switch out the van. I think I know what's wrong with it. It's an electrical problem. We'll work on it. It's not a big deal, but you know, we have a tendency when things like that happen to just get really irritated. We talked about it in Sunday school with the kids a little bit this morning, and I asked them, have you guys ever been in the car when something bad happens in the car? And the kids are all like, yeah, we've been through that. And I said, what kind of words does daddy use when that happens? And I won't tell you what they said, but no, it's all good. It's all good. They didn't throw you under the bus, Brian. Okay, so one time I was traveling. This was actually Thanksgiving 2020. I don't know if you remember 2020. Most of us have scrubbed it from our brains. 2020 had enough things going wrong with it that I didn't want to have any more drama, but traveling home after Thanksgiving 2020, man, the thing started to, we'd driven about an hour from our family's home in Greenfield. This is when we were still living in southern Indiana, and we'd gotten about an hour away. We were in like the Franklin area, and our car temperature starts to skyrocket, and there's nothing we can do to get it back down. And so I did all the little tricks that I know to do, and anyway, we ended up having to pull over. We're going to have to get things towed. Now, fortunately, we're AAA members, but unfortunately, there's only 100 free miles, and we were well more than 100 miles away from where we were going, and the rate was $4 a mile for every mile on top of the free. So that was, Enterprise was closed. This was actually Thanksgiving Day, so we couldn't rent a car. We left that night, and so we ended up having to pile our family and our stuff into this little tiny Honda Civic. Now, this was before, who said, oh dear, it was a small car. Now, this is before we had the girls, but we were up here for a week, so we had myself and my wife and our two boys and all of our stuff. We had our dog with us, and piling everything into that little Civic was just, we were pretty well crammed. And on top of all that, some of you will know what I mean when I say that Tristan left his stuffed monkey in the van. And so the ride home, he loved that monkey. Let's just say that his leaving that monkey behind provided plenty of soundtrack for our ride back to southern Indiana. Then, of course, once we got home, we had to figure out what are we going to do with a doggone broken van. Now, my guess is, as I tell this story, you're thinking of something similar that's happened to you as you've traveled. Your family car went out, and you're on the road, and there's no immediate, you know, answers or fix. You gotta get the thing towed or rent a different car, something like that. And obviously, those things can be very frustrating. But you know what's very interesting? We have a tendency, when things like that happen, to look at the negative side of all of it. A great Jedi master once said, your focus determines your reality. And you know what? He's right about that. We focus on the things that are bad about a situation, and everything just seems like it's all out of sorts. But there were some good things that happened too. The story that I told you just now is 100% true. But here are some details that I left out that make the story a little better. I mentioned we got to Franklin, Indiana. That's where Jesse's sister lives with her family. She's got 7 kids and her husband John is there. And we were able to kind of limp the car over to her place, where we spent the rest of the day hanging out with the kids, and Gene made us dinner, and we had a great, great time there. And yes, we did have to drive a Honda Civic back home, but that Honda Civic belonged to a friend of my sister-in-law, Gene, who was a driver for Uber, and this car had just aged out of the Uber program. It was just sitting in their driveway. They were trying to figure out what to do with it. So we got that car for free. We did have to pay for a tow truck, But fortunately, the driver was familiar with where we were in southern Indiana, so he knew all the roads to take to make that drive as short as possible. And so I think when it was all said and done, we ended up spending a little over $70 for a tow, dramatically underneath what it could have been. And some of you know what I'm talking about there. When my folks heard what had happened, my dad called and said, "Hey, for your upcoming birthday, we want to repair your car as a gift. We don't know what else to do for you anyway. You keep growing, so we're not going to get you clothes." So, and as for Tristan and the monkey, well, let's just say as bitter as their separation was, their reunion was all the more sweet. And so that's kind of what I'm talking about here. Our sermon in a sentence today, as well as the title of our sermon, is that now more than ever, we need some good news. Now more than ever, we need some good news, or at least to be able to focus on the things that, you know, that add to a situation rather than take away from it. We need some good news. And the Bible gives us plenty of hope to latch onto there. Give me a second to get that written down if you're taking notes. And let's pray together and invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of our time together. If you'll pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news of Jesus. Now more than ever, our world needs to hear it. And so also now more than ever, we as Christians need to be encouraged by it. I, for one, am grateful, Father, to be called by his name. And that means that for me and for many of us here who are also called by his name, no matter how dark or chaotic this world gets, there's plenty to look forward to. There's plenty to find hope in. There's plenty to focus on that is of a positive nature. And so, Father, not the least bit of that is that Jesus came into this world. Father, help us to be encouraged by the reality of that fact. We pray in Jesus through faith. Amen. So last week, we started a sermon series called Now More Than Ever, for reasons that you've just heard me discuss a little bit. Last week, we talked about the fact that now more than ever, we need some light in the darkness. The world seems dark and chaotic. Even so, God is on the throne. He is unmoved. He is unshaken. He is unsurprised. But he's not just on the throne of heaven, he's also on the throne of our hearts as well. So no matter how dark the world seems, we have reason to be encouraged. This week, we'll take that conversation a little further. As our sermon in a sentence says, now more than ever, we need some good news. And I think the reason so is because often we turn on the news or we read the newspaper. For those of you born after the year 2000, the newspaper is kind of like the internet, but on paper. So there you go. And it just, you know, we get on social media and everything's kind of negative, you know, like there's so much that's going on that just seems to be so upsetting. Let's take the coronavirus, for example. You remember the coronavirus, don't you? That was something that really affected everybody, no matter who you were or what walk of life you're from or what you believed or race, gender, whatever, everybody was affected by the coronavirus. It forced us to stay indoors. It put people out of work. It closed businesses. It claimed lives. It's easy for us to focus on the negative there because there's a lot of negative to focus on, right? But there are also some positive things that have come as a result of that too. And I want to be careful with this because I don't want to make light of some pretty tragic stuff. But for one, being forced to stay indoors provided more time with family. Thanks to e-learning, I became a lot more involved with my children's education. And I thought at first that wouldn't be a great thing. Turns out I'm happy to learn what they were, you know, up to and learning. And being forced to stay indoors also meant that we got better at streaming conversations online and visiting online and even doing work remotely, which the result of that was that sweatpants and slippers became acceptable attire at the office because the office was usually your living room or your dining room, or maybe you have something of a home office. Restaurants shared their best recipes online so that we could try them at home, and a lot of theme parks. I appreciated this. My kids had a lot of fun with this. They still watch these videos where they get on with a camera and basically they'll ride the ride, and you can get on YouTube and kind of it's like you're there, kind of like you're there, especially if you've got, you know, a big TV. And the best thing that happened was that Hamilton was put on Disney Plus. And I finally got to see, if you've never seen Hamilton, there's a little language, I'm not going to lie, but it's a great story. 2020 was a cloudy year, but those clouds had a bit of a silver lining. That's my point. And while it's true that we as humans have the tendency to focus on the negative, what should minister to you is the fact that we're not the only ones to have ever done so. Throughout history, folks in the Bible, those who worked most closely with God, in fact, have had some of the roughest times to speak of. Abraham was made the recipient of a great promise that he would be the father of a whole new nation, but he was focused not on the promise that he had been given, but on how long it was going to take to receive that promise. And so he tried to kind of rush things along and take matters into his own hand. And the end result of his actions saw that, you know, he had taken another wife and he had to exile that wife and that son. Moses had seen God's hand at work when he freed the slaves from Egypt and led them in the desert toward the promised land. But his focus wasn't on the land from which they came, nor to the one that they were going to. Instead, his focus was on his frustration with God's people who continuously complained about their state of being. And during a demonstration of God's power, Moses was instructed to tap a rock and water would flow from it. Instead, in his frustration, Moses Mr. Miyagi'd that rock and water came out. And that was the Hebrew people had no idea of the difference. But God knew that there was a difference there. Moses, you acted out of frustration, and as a result, I'm not going to let you enter the promised land. Jonah was a prophet that had been made the messenger of forgiveness to the Ninevites if they would but seek forgiveness, repent of their wickedness. But the trouble was, Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. He wanted God to destroy them. And so focused on his hatred rather than on God's mercy, he went in the opposite direction. When we have more time later, we'll unpack the rest of that. It's a real, wait for it, you're going to love this, whale of a tale. But suffice to say that God had gotten Jonah's attention and Jonah eventually preached repentance to the Ninevites as he had been instructed. People in the Bible were known to focus on the negative too. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed. Hold on to those words, if you will, as we move ahead. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." So pause there for a moment, but don't go anywhere. We're going to come back to the scripture here. When the angel appeared to Mary, we read that she was confused and disturbed. I think I would be too. If, you know, if we're talking honestly, an angel pops in and, you know, I don't know what to do with something like that. We use two words in English to translate the Greek word diataraso, which literally means to be greatly disturbed. Something is very wrong. There is a great disturbance in the force. Something's up here, and you feel it. Now, it should be noted, this is the only time this word appears in the New Testament. Luke had to use a brand new word to communicate just how out of sorts Mary is feeling here. Now, I've been greatly disturbed by a lot of things lately. That cold that had a hold of me a few weeks ago just would not let go for the longest time. I've only just had time to get the rental house that we had in Greenfield all cleaned out and ready to go, and I'm just getting it finished for the next occupant to live in, and I've had to take a break from the world of politics because I kind of live in that world a little bit, but things are so chaotic and so out of control. It was too much. My head was spinning every night. I was starting to creep into other things. Does this ever happen to you? Like when something's going crazy at work or something's going crazy at school, you start taking it out on other people. And it starts sort of showing up in places where it's really not welcome. And that's what was happening. But you know, good things have also been happening. We all have things going on that we can look at in our lives to prove that. But let's look at something we've all got in common. Let's look at what's happened at New Heights over this last year. In the last year, we've continued to have new visitors join us. We've had 3 baptisms in the last few months where I don't remember, maybe we did, but I don't remember if we had any baptisms last year. So to have 3 in the last couple months, that's a pretty cool thing. Let's see, what else? We've added 2 solid elders to our roster of leaders here. I've been impressed with the things that are going on in both the youth and the children's ministry. And you know, the world can be a distressing place. It can be confusing and disturbing, but by focusing on the positive things that are happening, we can keep our heads grounded in the good things that are happening and the good things that God is doing in our lives. Fortunately, Mary doesn't stay confused or disturbed for very long. She explains to the angel, "Hey, well, I'm a virgin and therefore I can't be pregnant." But the angel continues in verse 35. The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month, for the word of the Lord will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And the angel left her. I appreciate Mary's faith in this passage. You know, the Hebrew writer in chapter 11 lists her among this group of great heroes of the faith. You know, Sarah, who by faith believed that she could bear a child in her old age, or Noah, who by faith built a great ark to escape the coming flood, Enoch, who had faith enough that God just took him to heaven. He didn't have to experience death. He just took him right off the earth. You can read more folks like these in Hebrews 11. Were I the Hebrew writer, however, I would have included Mary in this stellar lineup of faithful God-fearers. I misspoke. I said that he did include her. I meant to say that he should have included her, because Mary had to have such great faith to believe what the angel was telling her. Not only to believe it, but if in fact it was true, it would mean that Mary was going to have some radical altering done to her life as she knew it. She had a difficult conversation or two ahead of her, if all this is true, because at the time this conversation took place, Mary was engaged to Joseph. Now, in our culture, when people get engaged, we say they're off the market, as it were, and they begin to plan a wedding and to start dreaming about what their future is going to be like. In ancient Jewish culture, engagement was much different. The wedding ceremony may not have yet taken place, but the legal part of that transaction was done. In our culture, when I do a wedding, we have the ceremony first, and then afterward, we sign the papers, and then they've got up to 30 days to submit that. Very different in Jewish culture. That transaction was already done. In fact, some argue, I'm not necessarily one of those some, but some argue that it wouldn't have been considered much of a scandal for Mary to be pregnant, though she was technically unwed. I've heard arguments both ways, but what I notice is that Mary's objection isn't because she's unmarried. Mary's objection is predicated on the fact that she is still a virgin. Now, I have a hunch here, and this is just a hunch. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. I used to think that Jay-Z was a typo. Apparently it's like the name of like some famous musician or something. I don't know. But my guess is, while it wasn't uncommon for engaged couples to engage in relation, it wasn't certainly commonly practiced. It isn't preferred for it is definitely preferred for couples to wait, you know, to their actual wedding night. Again, I could be wrong, but either way, Mary's objection to the angel's pronouncement seems to be predicated on her virginity rather than her engagement to Joseph, which tells me that Mary's primary concern isn't necessarily what other people are going to think. Her concern is about what Joseph would be thinking. Even though this news of a coming Messiah is exciting, it still comes as a bit of a shock, and convincing anyone, let alone Joseph, that it was true would be difficult at best. After all, fellas, be honest. If you were hanging out with your girl, you're not married yet, and nothing's... And she comes to you and she says, hey, I'm pregnant, but don't worry, it's from the Holy Spirit. Are you at the very least a little bit skeptical? I mean, I might be rethinking my decision to call K Jewelers at that point. That's a, you know, it would be difficult at best. Why is this a big deal? What's the worst case scenario? Maybe Joseph leaves Mary. That's the end of their engagement. Well, not exactly. You see, if Joseph is a follower of the law of Moses, and this time of scribes and Pharisees and everything certainly seems to suggest that he is, then things go a little further than just a heart-wrenching breakup. The law of Moses had more severe consequences for adultery. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, we read that if a man commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, both the man and the woman who have committed adultery must be put to what? Death. Let's just take a moment and think about this for a second. I want you to imagine that you're Mary and you're home and you're minding your own business. You're planning your wedding and all of a sudden an angel appears. This scares you as well it might. I'm not surprised by that. But you collect yourself and you listen to what the angel has to say. He tells you you're going to become pregnant. You're going to bear a son. That's not right. How can you become pregnant? You're a virgin. How's that even possible? You learn that God has a great plan and you're going to play a magnificent role in that plan. Even though it's true and you're a virgin, you're going to get to give birth to the very child we spoke about last week, the one that Isaiah prophesied about, that to us a son is born, a child is given. That's going to be your son. That's pretty exciting stuff. Now you have two options. A, you can choose to be concerned about how your fiancé is going to react to this news. Will he believe you? Will he stay with you? If he doesn't believe you, will he follow the law and have you killed? In these sorts of moments, the future is very uncertain, and in fact, it's a little scary. Or you can choose option B. If you choose option B, you know there's an awkward conversation or two ahead of you. You're going to have to talk with your fiancé. You're going to have to talk with your family about this. But you trust that God is the one on the throne, and that since he's the one orchestrating all this, he is ultimately going to bring about the result he wants. Even if that means that your fiancé won't understand, even if it means that he leaves you, you have faith and you trust that God is on the throne here, so you embrace this plan, committing yourself to this plan wholeheartedly. Personally, I'm glad that that's the option that Mary chose. She chose option B here. My question for you all today, New Heights, is which option will you choose? Because the truth is, we all have to choose between option A and option B pretty much every time something happens to us. We're not in the same situation as Mary, but whether it's a world event like COVID-19, or if it's a local event like a school having to be closed, or a personal event like the death of a loved one, or news of an undesired diagnosis, or a parent who leaves, or a spouse who walks away, or a friend who has to move, or a boss who hands you the pink slip, or even just a family vehicle breaking down. We have to choose between option A and option B. And there are a lot of people who choose option A. Option A says, I can't. Option A resigns. Option A loses hope. It gives up. It checks out. It lets go. Option A leaves when things get tough. Option A throws in the towel. Option A focuses on the negative. Option A is probably, if we're honest, the easier option to pick. Because option B, on the other hand, says, despite what's going on, I can. Option B keeps going. Option B trudges through the competition. It keeps moving toward victory. Option B recognizes that it isn't alone. Option B keeps the faith. It acknowledges that days will be tough, but that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Option B leans on family and friends and the church and God himself through the toughest of times, because option B knows that there's a God on the throne and his people here to help you. Option B keeps going. Option B keeps moving. Option B just keeps swimming. Option B doesn't give up when life gets difficult. Option B learns from past mistakes rather than runs from them. Option B trusts in faith that if God called you, God will equip you and God will carry you through. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day Christ Jesus returns. And that is what Mary believed. That's what Mary chose to embrace. She believed that God was working in her, with her, leading her to a great future in his service. And so come what may, she chose to believe. The angel called her highly favored. This word in the Greek not only means highly favored, but it also means one who is generous and blesses others, one who gives freely and graciously and kindly. We've all been blessed by the kindness of Mary because of her submission to God, Jesus Christ was born. And by the way, things turned out just fine with Joseph. He was a little hesitant at first to accept the responsibility, but, you know, God showed him that he too would play a great role in all of this. Joseph also chose option B and followed God's plan for his life. You know, let's face it, sometimes life seems scary. Sometimes we just don't know what it's going to bring us. We don't always know what things mean when they happen. But when life seems scary, we can choose option A and panic. Or like Mary and Joseph, we can choose option B, focus on what's positive about our situations, and trust that God is going to carry us through all the way. I want to challenge you to do the same thing, but speaking of challenges, let's wrap things up as we get to our three weekly challenges here, which will help us to choose option B. Challenge number one is to choose joy. When life hands you lemons, what do you do with them? Squirt them in somebody else's eye, right? That lemon juice really stinks. No, we make lemonade. We choose to focus on the things that exist that bring joy. We what do we have to lose after all? With this change of perspective, God's with us. He's watching us. He's rooting for us to win. He's called us. He's faithful to complete his work. So I challenge you to choose joy. Challenge number two is to choose to follow. It may be a rough climb. It may be a narrow path. It may be a difficult way of life, but Jesus walked it so that we can walk it too. When the path seems hard, follow him. Read the word and see how Jesus handled different situations. And when the path seems hard, follow him. Do what he did. He walked that path, setting an example for us to follow if we would choose. Finally, challenge number three is to choose partners. As rough as the climb may be, or as narrow as the path, or difficult as it may be to walk, no one ever said we had to walk it alone, right? Christ will walk with us, but he's also given us each other. So partner up. As both a pastor of this church and a fellow believer, I know that I'm happy to help. If you have questions, problems, just need a listening ear, whatever, that's why we have each other. You know, in all of creation, God said there's only one thing that was not good, and that was that man was created, what, initially alone. So he made a helper for him. Let's not forget that God has given us one another. And just as he had a plan for Mary's life and for Joseph's life, he has one for yours too. The question is, will you be faithful like Mary and embrace it? I hope that you will. I hope that you'll choose to follow him, choose to see the joy even in the darkest of circumstances. It may look dark out there, but things aren't always what they seem. There's plenty of reason for us to have hope. Having said all that, if we today, if you are out there and you realize, man, today's the day, something got knocked loose today and you're ready to hang on to that hope for yourself, to join that family for the first time. If you're ready to come forward today and be baptized into Christ, we will do that. Band will be coming up here in a moment. I'll be hanging out right here. If you're ready today to follow Jesus, come forward and we'll do that. If you are, maybe you just want to talk through that before you do it, or maybe you have some questions about either salvation or anything we've discussed today, I would invite you to get a hold of me. My info's in the bulletin. Zach@newheightsconnersville.com is my email. Comes right to my phone. I'll see it right away. Feel free to reach out because I would love to talk with you about what it means to follow Jesus. But for now, let's pray together. If you'll pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, sometimes it just seems like life is crashing down around us, and it might be. Bad things happen, we know that. Your word tells us to be ready for that. But when those things happen, you're right there with us. And not only that, even through the worst of troubles that we faced, you often work through them for good. My prayer for us as a church today, Father, is that you would please help us to feel your presence when we walk through these difficult times, and that you would help us to keep our focus on the positive aspects of even the most negative circumstances, because there's nothing you can't do. And you can certainly continue to bless, even during rough times. And now more than ever, Father, we need to be made aware of how you are continuing to be active in our lives. Help us to see it, Father. Remind us that you're there, that you're with us, and that you'll never leave us, because we need you, Father, now more than ever. We pray all this in Jesus through faith. Amen.